children would come and tell you when they lost their virginity.
That's true. Oh, my gosh.
Can they hear the fact that I'm blushing?
Touch the Muppet Baby.
May the force be with you.
Because when I die, it's going to piss me off.
Oh, picturing my 2-year-old, the freedom to get all red-faced in the middle of the living room and just launch some ass candy into his diaper.
I never want to eat candy again.
Shut your face!
It's like, just like, why are you such an ass?
But it, deep down, I'm like, I'm always surprised that people listen.
And now look at us. We're doing an iPod in the dining room.
Hello and welcome to the second funniest podcast with Justin Worsham and Kevin Miller.
Which one are you?
I am Justin Worsham.
How do we know that's true?
You're going to have to take my word for it. And this is episode 225.
Yep, it sure is. I'm dead weight.
No, you're not. You're the best psychic ever.
Yeah?
I don't know why, but I feel like, not that you're my psychic.
I totally am.
I just...
I'm right beside you.
But I've known you long enough to know that when you've turned it on, like and now you feel like you read a book on how to be a psychic.
Yep. And, yep. Sure have.
I don't know why it is, but the shoulder bounce adds to it.
Only you can see that.
I want to be... Here's what I was honestly thinking about recently. Oh, is good. That
no
I
more of this fault stuff.
Yeah. I want to... you got me until you ha-ha-ha'd me. I was like, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, that's good.
I want to know... I want to know. That didn't come out right. I want to try, no matter how I start this.
Take two.
I want to be your sidekick for, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 episodes or whatever. Oh. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Are we doing this with the trivia thing? Like, I want to do what you want to do on this show, what you want to talk about.
I know. It's been great.
If that's more Jesus or whatever, then let's do that. Like, I'm down.
Love it.
You know what I mean?
Do you want to know more about Jesus?
I do.
Awesome.
I'm very into it. No, here's the thing. I mean, we've had conversations.
I know, lots
conversations
of them.
About, are you still doing the psychic thing?
A little. It's more like a character, but I mean it. The problem is, I love talking about Jesus. Maybe we should have a second podcast called The Second Serious Podcast. Because
why?
Well, I feel obligated, if people are listening, to be the second funniest thing they've ever heard.
Uh-huh.
And while I think there is joy in my faith in Christ, it's not necessarily funny. And it lends itself to mocking it, which I don't want to do because it's reverent.
Have important. I mocked your...
Never.
Okay.
It's more me.
Oh, you in the moment will be like, okay, I got to make this funny, so I'm going to make fun of the religion.
Well, it's not that. There are a lot of jokes that we have within the Christian circle, especially within ministry. There's all sorts of things. But
I'm a big fan of your bassist.
What's that?
The one I hope we can say this in public, but second base is you play guitar together.
With Christian, Christian dating circles. Yeah. First base is it was Dave Lockett's idea actually. So first base is you pray together or you do Bible study. I think second base is pray together. Third base is you do a little worship set with the acoustic guitar.
I didn't know it was worship. I just love the assumption that all people who are single and Christian were, because to me, when you said they play guitar together, I didn't know they were playing worship songs.
Yeah, well, that's the assumption, is that of course they're playing, you know, now I can't think of a single stupid worship song. A good one.
How about Come All Ye Faithful?
Yeah, it'd be more like something
Saints
by
Go
Matt
Marching
Redman.
In.
It'd be like
Newsboys.
Okay, where's my iPod?
Get that. What's the guy's Dave Barry or Perry or whatever? I forgot who wrote the iPod app of the Bible.
We had to, Dave Schulert. We had to, sing 2 songs when we were in India, and for all the wannabe Christians there, or the soon to be converts, whatever the term would be. I can't do 2 things at once. And I'm not a singer. I don't know songs. I can't memorize them. But there were 2 songs that we had to memorize, and I would listen to them on the train rides and sing them out loud. And people would be like, "You're singing full voice in this train in India."
And that's not okay. That's not.
It was a little weird. Oh, so here's the song that you would sing to get to third base with your Christian girlfriend.
We can't just plug that in to where we...
That probably would be better. You got that?
Doing it, yeah.
Yeah, here you go. Here it comes.
Now, who is this so we don't get sued?
Gosh, if I was a real Christian, I'd be able to tell you.
I knew it. Now I know what you mean by mocking it, because it is hard. I know that this is a very like passionate song about his faith and his relationship with God. And but when you put it in the light of, because
it's like mood music for Christians.
You know? I, being a heathen, can only think that he's trying to score. You know what I mean?
Well, that's exactly what it is.
Third base is playing guitar.
Third base.
So what's a home run?
You married.
Mission accomplished.
So that was one song we had to do. This one's by Petra.
Harder to play. It's a little bit faster.
Well, it's the more upbeat. Yeah.
This is like first.
You wouldn't sing this, maybe, but you do it at a slower.
Yeah, like this is how you start it off. But if you want to marry her, then you got to end the night with that
exactly
song. I wonder, like, here's the thing. I know that people...
Christian
like,
music sucks. it's just so bad.
All this makes me think of is that time that I stage managed the concerts.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to tell them to... Because we had a city ordinance that you had to... Oh, you couldn't be louder than 100 decibels or whatever from a certain radius. After 11 o'clock, though, it had to shut down.
Yeah, that's pretty
significant.
And the
concert started late, and they... So I had to go out to the booth to the manager and lighting board operator and say, listen, if you don't stop in the next 5 minutes, I'm going to have to shut it down. And in my trip from backstage to the booth out in the front of house, just as I'm walking up to the guy, I go, listen, excuse me, I have to. And then the band asks everybody to bow their heads in prayer.
Yeah, right.
So I stood there.
You have to unite in prayer, yeah.
I stood there and waited for them to pray. And then I said, are they almost done?
Well, if they were led by the Spirit, they were just going to keep going.
Exactly. And they were. The power of Christ compelled them to keep going. And
keep playing or keep praying?
No, keep going. Keep playing.
Keep playing.
They played an encore song or whatever you would be after a prayer.
Yeah, another one.
And I had to go back and say, listen, if this isn't the last song, they're telling me I have to pull the plug so we don't get fined from the city.
Yeah.
And I just, the whole time, like, here's the problem with me as a manager is that I have to become something that I'm not.
Yeah.
Because all I do is look at this rule. I'm like, really? Really? Seriously, the city of Santa Clara is going to come into Great America? Let's just figure out how much money goes to the city in taxes and sales tax alone from this park. Not to mention the corporate taxes
they
make.
Even when they own
taxes
the city.
That are coming from all the people that are enjoying this contest. Yeah. You know what I mean? So is that fine that you're going to hit us with of probably 10 grand? Is that going to compensate you for everything that you're about to piss off here? And if the way that if people ran the government the way they used to, then they would all say, listen, assholes, you're out. This rule is gone. We're in charge.
Yeah, but that's
we want to hear
fair.
Some newsboys.
That's not fair to the people who live there, because then it's bad neighbors. So the theme park can do whatever it wants. They run the town.
There's
not
neighbors
Vegas.
There.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what I mean? You couldn't be driving down Great America Parkway and hear the newsboys at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, probably not.
Plus, we're not talking about a Tuesday night. It's Friday night. I mean, come on.
You know this guy. You love him. It's actually my favorite worship song.
It's just, what's his name? Michael Smith or something?
No.
Michael W. Smith?
No. W.C. Fields?
W.C. Fields. Yeah, see? I got a big nose and I play guitar to get score with Christian chicks, see?
Was that Christopher Walken or?
It was W.C. Fields done by Justin Worsham.
It's really good.
Let's listen to his music. Okay.
All right. Sounds great.
How do I know this guy?
You'll know. Listen, here we go.
I have no idea who this is.
Keep listening.
Is this the guy from Creed?
Nope. Great is your name and worthy. Ask yourself, why would I play this song?
Why would you? Is it Coldplay?
Nope.
Oh.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Close. Like second to Coldplay.
All I can think of now is Daft Punk.
Oh, wow. That's some old school Kevin love.
I don't know who this is.
Joseph Barkley.
Ah, are you serious?
Yeah.
This guy's good.
I know. Now do you respect his opinion?
No. If he wants to talk to me about singing, then I will listen to him. But if he wants to talk to me about
how
to...
He's a musician. He's a professional recording artist.
But does he talk into microphones? No.
Every day.
Into microphones he talks every day?
He's the lead pastor.
He's got a narcissistic complex.
Right. So you wanted to talk about Jesus, huh? You sure? Here's your feedback.
Come on, this is great already. Oh, I thought you unplugged your mic cable and threw it back.
I'm out of here. So much for yours. In the chat rooms, they wanted to know if that was Tupac. No, chat rooms. No, that was not Tupac.
But it was inspired by
him. It was the second best Tupac.
It was inspired by Tupac.
Joseph Barkley is the second best musician of all musicians.
Of all musicians, yeah. Now that he's
it goes Tupac, then Joseph. It goes Coldplay, then Joseph.
Is it because he's been featured on this podcast, or what exactly?
Anything on this podcast is second best.
I'm trying to get to the chat room so that I can also pull it up on my computer, because I'm equally impressed that we already have people who are watching the show live. Although they might be, here's the thing, they might be tuning in because of the topic. They might be like, listen.
Yeah. Well, we have trivia galore.
Oh, boy. So for those of you that don't know.
Oh, you did it. You did
it. What did I do?
For those of you that don't know.
Oh, already a phone call.
I bet I know who it is.
How do you know? All right, this is the Second Funnies podcast. You are on with Justin and Kevin. Please tell us who you are.
Hello, Justin and Kevin.
Turn down your computer, sir.
I apologize, my friend.
Don't apologize.
Are you sure that is not Tupac?
Positive it's not Tupac. I've met Tupac before. He and I used to go bowling.
As a black man, I know Tupac. That was close.
Although he is bald like Tupac, what are the chances if Michael Jackson can bleach his skin white, can Tupac
soon.
Do the
too
same?
Soon.
What?
Too soon.
It's an anniversary.
Would you, if you were Tupac, he kept getting shot.
Exactly. Yeah. You would like, I need to change more than just my hair color, bitches. I need to change my skin color and blend in.
Like Dennis Rodman.
Hey, this is Ruben, man. I'm just calling you guys.
It's Ruben.
What you guys are doing.
Yeah. I love you. Now, you. I just want you to understand that you did that solely for our listeners, because you also have a very professional podcast that you do called The Walroo Show, which unfortunately...
yeah.
We can't...
The House of Walroo.
Yeah. It's House of Walroo, not Walroo Show?
Yeah, it's House of Walroo.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's the show at House of Walroo. I got a big white guy that does the show with me. We call him House.
Why is this not a podcast that myself and our listeners can then download?
Yeah, why is that?
Because here's the thing, is that I am not as adept, and you and I got to talk after we get off the air and figure out how to get this man, my black ass on a download podcast. Because among all the other things that I do in my life, I do not sit down and take the time to put my crap up on the podcast.
Okay, yeah.
So what do you do, record in your room with a tape deck? Or
no,
what?
They stream it. They're doing it the opposite way, which I don't know if it has more listeners that way, because here's what happened.
We're getting pretty good listeners, man. We've been getting, we tapped out at 2,000 last week.
Holy gosh. How are you doing,
man? That was just for the people that came in. That was the people that came into the room during the 2 hours that we were on.
Where do you broadcast out of?
NBC? We do a lot of you streaming out of Stickham.
Oh. Wow, we need to talk.
Here's what we'll do. I'll talk you through how to get your show into a podcast, and then you could talk me through how to get 2,000 people to watch it live.
Okay.
Unless the wall person is some naked blonde chick.
Oh, that would explain a lot.
Well, Stick Amazon is all about, if you can get on the first page, you know, if it registers as, hey, it's me. I mean, they probably jump on and go, ooh, black guy, click, and then they look for the blonde girl. But, you know.
Well, that's a good idea. We just need to take a picture of, your wife and put her up on the front cover and say something funny.
That's the smartest idea ever.
Kevin Miller does not mess around.
Yeah.
Does not mess around.
I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty excited. I'm spreading the news. I don't know if you guys know, Steve Harvey, he's doing the new Family Feud, which is weird, but I got the warm-up guy for Family Feud, so...
Are you serious?
Right. Congrats.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, so I'm sitting here right now recording my voiceover crap, and while I was doing that, I was like, I'm bored. Oh, there's Justin and Justin Cal, listen to them.
That's great. Where they're taping that in Orlando?
They are indeed.
That's fantastic, dude. I'm so unbelievably happy
Give
for
us
you.
Some of your material. Get us some warm-up act. Give us some warm-up act material here for our listeners.
I'm going to have to figure it out as I go along.
That's fantastic.
I really went in and told jokes for 10 minutes, and they were like, oh, God, this black guy's amazing.
You don't need to hear this from me, but it's the same thing that you do on Nickelodeon or when you're DJing. I mean, it's just riffing with the crowd, and it's a game show, so that's unbelievably easy. Like, you're primarily an announcer, really, you know what I mean, and secondarily the warm-up guy, am I right?
That's exactly what I went in with. They were like, hey, what do you do? And I went in, and I talked, and I did all my shtick, a good amount of my shtick that I already do, and
great. Congratulations.
That's awesome. Think they were going to pick me. I didn't think they were going to pick me because, you know, it's show business.
Yeah.
And Steve Harvey is black, and I am black. So they were like, ooh, it's too dark in here. We need to find a Mexican or something. I didn't know what they were going to do.
Now, you didn't go through and, quit your job at the hotel and then tell everybody to fuck off or anything like that, did you?
That'd be awesome.
Currently, once that I've accepted this, now that I'm sick of this gig, I officially have 4 jobs.
Nice.
Wow.
Congrats.
Wow.
Yeah, because you're Universal Nickelodeon.
But we'll figure it out.
Oh, that's great.
Because because it's that classic Hollywood story, only this time it's in Orlando, near Hollywood,
classic
Florida.
Orlando story.
Where you go in and you're like, guess what? Daddy's hitting the big time. I'm going to be doing Family Feud with Steve Harvey. So F you, F you, F you, F you. You're calling up Bob Brandenburg. You're like, F you double times. Boom. Click.
And then you go out of his way to piss Bob off.
I don't know I'm sorry, this is bad radio for those folks. Bob Brandenburg actually does a lot of show production for Nickelodeon.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He actually started off doing crowd warm-up stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so now I'm trying to he's on the ship right now. He's doing the Nickelodeon cruise stuff.
Uh-huh.
So once he gets back, I'm going to sit down and for an hour and just try to pick his brain of all the bits he used to do.
Just have him bring his Tupperware tub of all of his giveaways and prizes and things like that. And then you should be...
Exactly.
Locked and loaded. That's a warm-up guy joke, just so everybody knows, too.
To give away.
Yeah, you give away T-shirts or, fake, like necklaces and stuff. You
fake necklaces?
Yeah. You have
so they're not really round? They're just like...
No, like the beads that you would give out at Mardi Gras.
Without string?
Yeah,
that would
exactly.
be a fake necklace.
Yeah.
You're like, listen, oh, this is just a handful of beads.
Listen, you really didn't understand what I'm saying?
I'm just trying to make this funny.
Pretty much, if you have beads, you can get anywhere in the world.
Exactly.
You can eat groceries with beads.
That's right, except for America, because we're evolved.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm going to let you go, Ruben, so we can start talking about 70s wrestling.
So much, man. You guys keep up the good work, man, and keep being funny.
Seriously, Lo, let me, we'll talk. I'll send you an email or whatever after we're done here, and let's figure out how to get you podcasting, because I want to hear the House of Waru. I think it sounds good times.
Fantastic. Yeah. Only thing I'm going to say is the best thing about the show is that the last 15 minutes we get drunk and attempt to freestyle rap. That's the best part of the show.
Oh, you guys are copying the end of our shows.
How dare you?
What's up with that?
How dare you?
Why do you do that?
It's not good enough.
All
right, bye, Ruben.
I am doing a rap right now. I'm totally making it up. And how? There was no words written down because I'm just messing this up and messing around because you can't stop me. I can't stop me. Anybody around me cannot stop me. I am rapping.
And I just...
Who can't stop you?
You can stop me.
All right, so our topic this week.
No, our trivia challenge.
I'm sorry.
Why do you call it a topic?
Because I think it's a topic.
It's not, it's trivia.
All right.
It's more than topic, because we're not just discussing it like, oh, wow, do you know butter? What do you think of butter? My favorite cities with butter in them are...
Maybe you're just discussing it as a topic. Maybe I'm treating it too much like trivia. Or wait, the other way around.
You can't do two things at once. Why do you try to do two things at once?
Because I got excited about recording the show, and I have a couple of video clips that I wanted to queue up. That I found while Googling 70s wrestling.
Yeah. Now, in case you're just tuning in and you didn't just listen to last week's episode, our good buddy, drinking buddy, Jay Dobbs-Rosa, wanted us to learn more and teach you all about 70s wrestling. I don't know why this is a subject.
I think it's
a specific thing that it's... But I wanted to know why he would think it's such a... Why not wrestling? Why 70s wrestling?
I think, in my opinion, I think it's because he knows that he knows so much about it, so he wants to see what we could find out in a few minutes of internet searching. And I think that I wanted him to be on the show so that he could just take the reins.
Yeah, I was like, I'll listen to you, but I don't know if I can find anything trivia worthy about 70s that's not too specific about, you know, this wrestler and this wrestler was this wrestler and then this wrestler was bought by this. Who cares? That's just names and dates. It's not a history class. Come on, people.
And then my thing was personally, the only other reason I could think that he would want to do this is to mock us in some way. He said he was going to call in, but then he didn't. Unless he hasn't in while we're doing.
I've
the show.
IM'd him 9 times since we've started.
Oh, really?
And this will
yeah,
be
he's at
10.
Work though. That's why he could because I
yeah,
wanted
well,
him to be
he's
on
got
the
a
show.
Cell phone.
So here's what I found that I thought was interesting. But what I'm going to do first is pull up this second clip so that I can turn the audio back up. Because here's what I didn't know, like, trivia-wise. All I found out was that everybody that we know from wrestling is not famous, like, from the 70s.
Oh, sure, yeah. Well,
the only one that was famous is George the Animal Steele.
Yeah.
I know that he was around then, but everybody else that I could kind of see or find or whatever, not really a big part of it. What I did, however...
Somebody that you cared about as a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're a little too young.
What I did, however, find out was, like, for instance, the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, which was started by the WWE, which was originally known as the WWW... How many W's did I just do? Three?
You did three, yeah.
The WWWF.
Yeah, and then
so
they lost
three W's,
the W.
And then they lost the W, and that was about the time that Vince McMahon took over is when wrestling as you and I know it became what it is. And there are a lot of people who are from the South and other rural areas that feel like he ruined wrestling and made it sports entertainment. And what I found was, I guess, PBS did a documentary. I don't know when it came out.
A while ago, actually.
You found the same thing?
No, I just know it. I know the documentary. Michael
Savage
used to love it. Yeah, he talked about it. It's from the 90s.
It's a PBS documentary about 70s Portland wrestling, and I'll play you this little clip, and I'll tell you that the voice that you will hear, you may recognize from a political figure.
Go to the hospital with their head laid open, broken arms like that. There's nothing fake about that. I really, really enjoy it. I really do.
It's a tough life, very tough life.
Just knocked the guy out cold.
Yeah, they're just punching.
He looks
other.
Like Josh Calloway. He's like, here you go, Freckles.
I'm going to retire within about the next 2 years.
He's just punching him in the ear repeatedly now.
It's hard to get up, you know, night after night, you know, to get up for a big match. It's very hard to psych yourself up and to hold down the schedule that I hold down and to pump the iron, lift weights like I lift weights.
Now, that voice that you're hearing is...
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Younger Jesse
Barack
the Body
Obama.
Ventura.
Oh, right.
And you could hear this thick Canadian accent coming from him, which I don't know. Like, I guess he's obviously... Maybe I thought that he just happened to live in Minnesota. I don't know if he grew up, and I didn't research more than it, but I just thought this was... I stumbled upon this, and he was the only face. Now, here's the thing. What this was is back in the day, before it became like this huge television phenom, I guess that it was more of like a regional thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would do these matches. This was just in Portland is where this took place. And it's my understanding that Jesse the Body Ventura and the Iron Sheik, as we now know him, were a part of this like wrestling group. And I think Jimmy Snuka was also Superfly Snuka, the guy who would he was awesome. I remember him. but anyway, he would he was a part of this. And this is him talking about how he's only going to do this for a couple more years and that he's got to retire. Now, this is all before he became huge on the WWF, like in the 80s and everything like that.
Yeah, but the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar stayed on for, you know, he kept retiring every 2 years and he was doing a real sport.
Well, I guess somebody just got on Skype. I guess for me, what made it interesting was that he, I think that this is kind of like what every, to me, professional wrestling is to men who are athletes, what pornography is to women with absent fathers. Now, here's
please
my,
unpack that.
Here's
that's a very
point.
Christian statement, by the way.
That you, as a, if you come into the adult film industry, and I'm not going to make the generalization that everyone, all right, but a good chunk of them get into it and they say, I'm only going to do this for a few years, or that used to be the main thought was that this could help them get into mainstream film and acting and stuff like that. And so, like, you always say, I'm only going to do this for a few more years, but then you realize you don't have anything else that you could go to, so then you come back to it. And I think that that's what wrestling is for these guys. Mm. Like, that's kind of what ends up happening until Jesse Ventura built himself into enough of a figure that he can now be an author and a political figure, and now he's just a pundit of some kind. Is that the right word? Did I say that? Pontificator of, you know.
No, that's not it. Panchalionia.
Pundit. No, that's what I'm thinking of.
No, it's pon.
No, somebody who talks about like politics pale, as like a, just as a, an opinion, skin, poor, a personality of some
porous,
kind.
Porridge. No, that's not it. I don't know.
The other video that I found is
Jesse the Venture Ventura grew up in Minneapolis.
He did grow up there. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know he was originally from Minnesota.
Yep.
So here's the other video, which is more for entertainment factor than anything. Now, the voice that you're about to hear, you might hear a young man talk, but then it's going to cut to, you're going to hear a woman screaming. This woman screaming, and Kevin could back me up on this, has to at least be in her mid to late 70s.
Oh, awesome.
Bad guys.
He'd punch her.
So what made me laugh about that thing is that all of these clips like have these old ladies, and there's this one old lady who is being interviewed, and she's saying, she's quoting these like she'd be saying like something like the ultimate warrior. He likes my snickerdoodles, and it's to that same idea. Like I can't remember the names because then there's nobody in there that would know. But they were like, and then so and so is Scottish or so and so.
70s wrestling was populated and popular to elderly women.
Yes.
Weird.
Yes. So, and I found on a message board.
It was like the first soap opera.
I think, and maybe it's on this one. Let's see. No, it's not. There was a comment that basically, that's what kind of told me is that, you know, this is back in a time when wrestling drew an older crowd. There's a lot of elderly people, or what would be considered elderly people, in this video clip that you would see. Not a lot of kids. Yeah. Not a lot of young people. It's like everybody's in their 40s or older, and the matches would last a lot longer. And the guy kind of complains that Vince McMahon ruined wrestling and made it into like this short form attention span sports entertainment. In the, this is how I was like, this guy is this real like credible like sounding opinion in this like comment that he wrote. And then he ends it with, he goes, all I know is that about 30 years ago, my dad never took me to no sports entertainment. He would take me to what we called good old fashioned wrestling.
He probably just copied and pasted somebody else's paper and then added that at the end.
And I don't know if I hope I copied this link, but I don't know if this is trivia. I didn't. Let me find it here. The I don't know if this is trivia, but they have a great thing that I thought was really cool about where are they now? Like WWF stars. Did you find that too or no?
No, that sounds great.
So they have this thing of like your most favorite or famous professional wrestlers of the 70s and 80s. And I thought this was really cool is that it's hard to tell between the storylines that they wrote for the show and what's really going on in these descriptions. Like, for instance, one of the guys in here is Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah.
Who came. He's not a 70s wrestler, so Jordan doesn't call me. Hello. Hold on. Shut up, Suave. Man. He's not a 70s wrestler. He came into the WWF in 1985. Oh, and I think this might be somebody calling in already. Let's see. All right, you're calling into the Second Funniest Podcast. You're on the air with Justin and Kevin. Who is this?
Hey, it's your old drinking buddy, J-Dob.
Oh, thank you. Thank
boy,
you.
Boy, howdy. We are butchering your topic. I don't know if you've
trivia
been
challenge.
Live.
We are butchering your trivia challenge.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm sorry.
You're dead weight.
Your trivia challenge?
Yeah, that, the 70s wrestling trivia challenge. We tried to learn as much as we could, but no one. I feel like we're a drop in the bucket compared to the ocean of knowledge you have on the moon of Europa.
70s, I'm a little weak on, but I'll give it a shot. Right. 80s, a little...
So then both of us are wrong on our theory. You only wanted us to look at 70s wrestling because you wanted us to be cliff notes for you? Is that what it was?
Well, give us some good trivia. What are things we should all know about 70s wrestling?
70s wrestling, let's see. 70s wrestling, who's great in 70s wrestling? Baron Von Raschke.
Yeah, I found
with
him.
With the claw.
Yeah.
He was great. The Fabulous Thunderbirds. Fabulous Thunderbirds, who are featured in the opening of Highlander.
Wow.
The opening of the Highlander movie is at a wrestling event, and the Fabulous Thunderbirds are wrestling, I believe it is the Samoa Kid and somebody else. It might be the Wild Samoans in general.
Why is 70 wrestling's different than 60s or 80s wrestling? What makes it different?
Okay. 80s, I mean, what's interesting, I would say what's interesting is it's one of those things where the decade begins isn't necessarily where the calendar begins.
Sure.
The way the 50s, you know, as far as we think of it, the 50s start in 1956 yeah. with rock and roll and end like in 1963 with the British invasion.
Yeah, it's true.
I would 80s wrestling starts, give or take, what, 83 or so with Hulkamania, you know, and previous to that, it was a little more rough and tumble. I would say it was a little more, it didn't have that giant national audience that the WWF brought with Hulkamania, WrestleMania, all the manias.
That's what Vince McMahon brought to the table. I'm now finding out.
Mania.
He's like, we need to make this a mania.
The rock and wrestling connection, I think MTV had a definite influence both directions on 80s wrestling. 70s wrestling, I feel like it's a little grimier. It was a big hit in the 50s on television, you know, with early television with somebody like Gorgeous George. Mm. And then I feel like in the 70s, it kind of goes regional again. It's like, you know, Ric Flair is already a big deal in the 70s wrestling. Obviously you've got Jerry Lawler, the King. I think Arn Anderson goes back to those days. Those guys who are now.
I also learned
men.
That Gorilla Monsoon is.
Gorilla Monsoon, God, I think Gorilla Monsoon goes back to the 50s.
Well, he was. Goes back to the 50s. I found a website that was like Know Your TV or something like that, and it was talking about the WWWF in the 70s, and you could go each year, and it tells you the top 10 wrestlers, and he was always ranked in the top 10 for the 70s. And then
he was around for forever.
I liked his name, and I thought he was George the Animal Steel, but then I saw George Steel in like the mid-70s is when his name popped up. And what I thought was interesting is that Gorilla Monsoon was an announcer, I remember, when I was a kid. Like, he transitioned from being in the ring like Jerry Lawler did. Only I think Jerry Lawler wasn't around when we were kids, but he's more of a thing now, isn't he, or no? Or no, he did. Yeah, because he was wrestling when Andy Kaufman was around, huh? He was the one who wrestled Andy Kaufman.
Right, yeah, no, the King was still around as a wrestler, certainly in the 80s, and I think it wasn't until the Attitude Era, as they like to call it, that I think it was that Lawler went to announcing. I just thought of something else about 70s wrestling, and I'm trying to remember now what. Well, partially it was, as you mentioned, it was the WWWF, which proves that there was just a lot more stuttering in the 70s. I think. I like that it just like drop one W and we're good. There was also a time when NWA wrestling meant something very different than it did in the 90s.
Were there any famous women?
And fantastic. But,
were there any famous women wrestlers of the 70s that you can think of?
Famous women wrestlers of the 70s. Well, you know, honestly, the ones I can come up with are the ones who are like still working for WWE now. Mae Young, the fabulous Moolah. I'm thinking, you know, I think of the 80s, the 80s wrestlers, the women of the 80s, Woman. I believe was married to Chris Benoit.
That's
which,
awesome.
Not to bring it down, but I believe was. And then I just want to quote, speaking of wrestling, I want to quote my good friend Leon. We were at a pay-per-view event in the mid to late 90s and at a WCW event, and live, and Miss Elizabeth came out with Lex Luger. She was Lex Luger's valet at the time.
Which later on, she was found dead in his hotel room. From an overdose.
It was a mysterious tragedy, and that's
which
all
you
say about that.
You have literally led me into back into what I was talking about right before you came on. One of the things that I thought was interesting about my research into 70s wrestling trivia was that my like Macho Man Randy Savage. It says right here, let's see if I can find it. Oh, Savage later became known for his rivalry with Hulk Hogan after accusing Hogan of sleeping in Elizabeth's bed during a road trip. Savage and Elizabeth were divorced on September 18th, 1992. Savage and Hogan reportedly have a strange relationship to this day.
Yes. Yes, I believe. Speaking of going back to '70s, I believe a '70s wrestler who was Macho Man's brother, if I remember correctly, Leaping Lenny Pawpaw. Look up Leaping Lenny Pawpaw. Leaping Lanny? No, Leaping Lenny Pawpaw.
That's like not real. That is not real.
Macho Man. It could be true because Macho Man Randy Savage's legal name is Randall Mario Poffo.
Oh,
so it, yeah, could, it
exactly.
Could be,
it's
could
Leaping
be
Lenny. Leaping Lenny, I believe, was his brother. And but no, I just back because Leon is the one of the funniest human beings I've ever met, and that's including you guys. That's how funny he is. Miss Elizabeth comes out. This is like 1997, 98, and Leon just goes, "Man, what?" What happened to Miss Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah.
I remember in the 80s, like WrestleMania 5, she was the Vanna White of wrestling. And now, she's the Vanna White of wrestling.
So awesome.
I believe going back to the 70s, that same night, also I believe Rick Martel wrestled back in the 70s, who he had kind of a nice thatch of kind of wiry Italian fro hair. And by the 90s, it was really going bald in the back, but it still kind of poofed up, and it kind of just collapsed in the back where it got bald. And I remember this was at the Cow Palace. I remember this lady like three rows behind me shouting loud enough in our cheap seats for the entire Cow Palace to hear, "Rick Martel, looks like a bird been nesting on your head." Which I thought was one of the greatest things I'd ever heard. Also, at that pay-per-view, there was a little kid sitting next to me, and on the other side was his dad, who quite obviously it was his dad's weekend to look after him, and it snuck in like 12 beers, and before the pay-per-view had even started, he drank 8 of them and promptly passed out. We tried to just distract the kid, like, you know, "Hey, who's going to win, Dean Malenko or Saturn?" You know, and then whoever he wanted to win, I would just go, "No, this other guy's going to win." And so we could argue and I distract him from his alcoholic, unloving dad.
How old were you when all this is happening?
I was in my 20s at least.
Wow.
This is like late 70s. This is the late 70s. I was in my 20s.
How old are you?
What?
Wait a minute.
I sleep in Tupperware in Erie, Indiana. Nobody remembers Erie, Indiana, really?
I got it. I was with you. It was a stretch. That was pretty awesome.
That's all right. It was about 1997. It was WCW NWO era. I believe the Red and Black faction had begun, but I'm not positive about that. It was Super Brawl at the Hell Palace in about 1997.
I am surprised by the amount of alcohol you have consumed in your lifetime that so many of your memories and brain cells are still intact, because at some point you're just going to lose all connection with this wealth of knowledge swimming around.
No, this is a gift. This is a God-given gift that this man
I know,
has.
That's what I'm saying. At some point it's going to...
What I'm saying is that alcohol cannot destroy a God-given gift.
That's not true.
History tells us heroin does by killing you, but it doesn't end your talent.
Alcohol kills the weak brain cells that are getting in the way from everybody else remembering what I remember.
Oh, fascinating.
That's what it is.
So it's drink like, more.
Like, my brain is like a bonsai tree. And as I drink, I shape it into the perfect, like, what the perfect knowledge that I need is.
How much alcohol have you had tonight?
Actually, I am on a very regimented diet of my own design, which means honestly, I have not had a drink in more than a few days.
Oh my!
Although I was thinking about it tonight, but 1,000 calories a day, a lot of working out. I'm gonna be svelte
or dead.
Somebody, Somebody shot an interview I was doing. I did an interview at the Silent Movie Theater with Cine Family this weekend with Alan Tudyk. We did a sneak preview of the Tucker and Dale versus Evil, which is fantastic. He came out. I was doing the Q&A with Alan Tudyk, which Tudyk watched from Firefly. The extra name dropping in the middle of it, Nathan Fillion, Captain Mal from Firefly, got up in the middle of it and just like there were like bits galore. But all I can really remember at this point is watching the video of it later and thinking that it was an extremely unflattering angle and my ass is huge. So I'm on a diet now.
Wow.
Oh, I love that your self-designed diet is no alcohol.
Yeah.
You can have it, but it's you're counting calories. So calorically, it just doesn't
exactly,
fit in.
Exactly. Okay. I like on Friday, I'll probably drink and therefore I won't eat and it all balances out.
Wow. Well, good luck with you. Jordan Rosa, ladies and gentlemen. Probably
well, thank you, Jordan, for filling us in. And thank you for this fantastic topic. We hope we will do it justice.
Oh, talk about some Andre the Giant, too.
Okay, we're good. All right, bye.
Fascinating. That guy is fascinating. So I have some thoughts.
Okay.
Do you have more?
I have more. I just want to go through
your thought.
This where are they now? And this will sum up everything
where
I have.
Where is J. Dobbs Rosa right now? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I think he's down by Cine Family. Is that near Larchmont? Isn't that where that is?
No, it's more like West Hollywood area in Hebrew Town.
Let's see. Andre the Giant, when he first started wrestling, was 7 feet tall and weighed over 300 pounds.
And he talked like this.
Yeah. And by the end of his career, he had reached a whopping 540 pounds.
That's because he ate a refrigerator.
Let's see. He supposedly went 15 years without a loss by pinfall or submission before being pinned by Hulk Hogan in 1987 at WrestleMania 3. In 1986, Andre won a 20-man battle royale that featured top NFL stars and wrestlers.
That's awesome.
There's a great, by the late 1980s, the disease that granted him his immense size started to take its toll on his body. Andre was in constant near crippling pain, and his heart struggled to pump blood throughout his massive body. When he was not in front of a camera, he was usually in a wheelchair in the late 1980s. So while he's still wrestling and on TV, he's hanging out in a wheelchair when he's not like out there.
I wonder what that was like if he got in the ring and he could kind of white focus out the noise and the pain and just be like, okay, I'm doing the thing. And then as soon as he stops wrestling, it's just this crippling pain that comes over from
my impression of what I've seen in documentaries and stuff like that is that these guys are in constant pain. Like, it's just part of the gig. Like, even what we heard Jesse Ventura talk about, how he's got aching joints and all this stuff.
That's just after a few years.
And he said that with everything that I do and the aching and the pain and everything, that eventually it turns into arthritis because you injure your joints so much that they just kind of callus over and tense up to protect themselves.
Yeah,
and then he can't really move. It says Andre died in his sleep on January 27th, 1993 in his Paris hotel room. He was in France to attend the funeral of his father.
Oh, wow.
Andre's body was cremated and in accordance with his wishes, and his ashes scattered at his ranch in Ellerby, North Carolina. So I have two thoughts when I read that. Number one is, who owns that ranch now?
Yeah, good question.
And number two,
Michael Jackson, probably.
Do you think that they had to give any hormone injections to the cows that eat the hay that grows from his ashes? Or does it genetically pass out from him? You know what I mean? Like, do they naturally become big? You're smirking at me.
I'm just going to let that one sit there.
All right.
Mr. Worsham.
So there's one more that I thought.
Did you really think that when you read that? You thought that would happen? You realized that the hormones would be burned out, that ashes, an entire body of 500.
Not hormones, but the genetics.
No, the genetics are gone. All of that is gone.
No, it's not gone.
Absolutely, it's gone.
It is not gone.
Do you understand they have to grind up the bones? There's nothing left.
The genetics are not gone.
Don't you point at me.
I'm going to point at you because you're wrong.
No, you're wrong.
No, I'm right. And you're wrong.
All right, teach me what you're
saying. Here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
the genetics are there, but they're not going to be passed into the cows through what they ingest. No. That I understand. Okay. But the genetics do not die just because he's dead and is then ingested. Like, if he's eaten and shit out by an alligator, they could go through that alligator shit and
that's
find
different.
Him.
By burning it to the point where you grind bones and completely burn the flesh at like 2,000 degrees or
something. It's still there.
Ridiculous.
DNA's still there.
No, it is not still there.
Yes, it is.
Oh, we need to get cold case.
Guess what? We got our new topic.
DNA.
There is a police officer that lives in this building. And
let's find out. Now, here's the thing. I admit, in a house fire, yes, you can identify the person through DNA. I'm saying through an...
In a crematorium.
Crematorium, no.
Do you not watch Dexter?
I don't.
Dexter, what happened was John Lithgow, when he killed people, would take his finger and dip it in his mother's ashes and then put a little smudge somewhere hidden as like his little trademark or whatever. And then they found it. They were able to track the ashes to try to figure out who it was. All they could figure out, though, because she wasn't in a database, obviously, but they knew she was female. So they through the DNA that they found.
Sounds like
ashes.
Science fiction.
But it's based in reality, not on a starship.
Yeah, well...
If Star so Trek would have told you that...
I would believe it.
Yeah, I know you would. So here's another interesting piece of trivia challenge that I found on this website. The Ultimate Warrior, who was born Brian James Helwig in 1959, was a WWF superstar from the mid-1980s. Now, you guys might remember this guy. He had the things that you would hang from your handlebars on his elbows and knees, like all these little dangly things all over, and he had the little, like, Harlequin mask-type face paint. I remember when he first came on the scene, he was like, all of us kids loved him. Like, I used to love to be him in the wrestling game and everything. It was awesome. So his whole career, then all of a sudden he just vanished, right? His tenure at the WWF was characterized by several feuds with the Federation owner, Vince McMahon. He had three runs with the WWF. His debut was in 1987, which continued until 1991, when he left over a pay dispute with the owner, Vince McMahon. He then returned as Dingo Warrior in 1992. Yes. Rumors began that Dingo Warrior was not the original Ultimate Warrior and that the original Ultimate Warrior had died. These rumors were shown on several occasions not to be true through cremation DNA evidence.
Boo.
The Ultimate WWF again in the late 1992 after yet another feud with the Federation, this time over the legal rights to the name Ultimate Warrior. The WWF cited steroid use as the reason for firing the Ultimate Warrior from the WWF. In 1996, he returned again. This time, WWF fired him for taking time off to grieve his father's death. This is what I love. McMahon stated that the Ultimate Warrior didn't have a close relationship with his father and hasn't seen him in over 10 years. Therefore, for him to take time off to grieve his father's death is bullshit.
Wow, that is...
like, that's the last part I added, but that's what it says in here.
Yeah.
The Warrior claimed that the real reason why he was a no-show to the WWF events was a breach of contract by McMahon, that they had already breached his contract. But this is why I wanted to
that
tell
is
the story.
Harsh. I mean, how can you? Who are you to say that? I mean, if your estranged father died after 10 years, it would make sense that you would go and grieve that and be like, "Well, there's a chapter is closed in my life, and there's nothing I can do about that." It would be life shattering.
Yeah, exactly. To me, it almost heightens it. If you don't have a relationship with your father, then he died and you never had a chance to make amends.
Has he never seen any movie ever?
Yeah. Like, Vince McMahon, evidently all he does is pump iron and ruin people's lives that are rednecks. But in 1990, this is great. In 1993, Jim Helwig legally changed his name to Warrior in order to retain the legal rights to use the name outside of the WWF.
That is awesome.
His children carry the Warrior name as their legal surname.
That is amazing.
Little Timmy Warrior.
Dude, own it. Own it.
Then there was also a comic book based on him. And then after officially retiring from professional wrestling in 1999, Warrior began a career as a conservative speaker and commentator denouncing left-wing politics. Specifically, he has made comments against homosexuality, stating that the human race would die out if everyone were a homosexual.
Well, that's quite a... quite an astute observation, Mr. Warrior.
Like, I don't know. It was just, thought it was interesting for me to read that because I remember watching going, because I was, I think, too late and getting on the Hulk Hogan bandwagon. Yeah, I was never big time into him. But when the Ultimate Warrior came on the scene, I loved the guy just because of his crazy frenetic energy. Yeah. Like he was all over the place and it was awesome. Like I loved it. So
and he was in the opening and he like screamed and electricity came out of his face. And
maybe you saw a different warrior.
No, that was the same. That was the opening to the WWF on Saturday morning.
Oh yeah, you're right. Okay. Now I remember. Like, yeah. I thought you were saying when he entered the ring.
And I remember watching it and when he lost his belt, I remember thinking, oh no, what's the new opening title going to be? Because he doesn't have the belt anymore, and it was still him. And I thought, this show isn't very good. It might have been the end of me watching for that generation. Then skip forward 15 years when I ran into guys like Jordan at Comedy Sports, and we went to a match.
To a wrestling match?
In like 1996 or 7.
I am angry that I spent all this time talking about it, not knowing that you had this in your back pocket.
I've been twice. I've been to two wrestling matches. One when I was a child, and we were 10, when we went and we saw Hulk Hogan then.
Uh-huh.
And then again in 1996 or 7.
What was it like?
Well, it was funny because Hulk Hogan had come back and was not Hulk Hogan anymore. He was
Terry Hogan,
Hollywood Hogan.
Hollywood. This is WCW.
Yeah, back when it was that, and the two before the two re-merged.
I think
one.
He had the same issue as Ultimate Warrior. Was that because what happens for another documentary that I've seen is that when you join the WWF, you have a sit down with Vince McMahon, and then he comes up with a name for you. Like for instance, one of the documentary I saw followed this guy, but this was about steroid use, not about wrestling. But this guy who was an aspiring NFL star, but then had his knee blew out or something that, and the only thing he could do at parties was that he could puke on command. Like so Vince McMahon calls him into his office and then has him puke and like he's like, okay, well I like what you do, I think you're a great athlete, yada yada yada. He's like, so I just got to see the goods.
Oh wow.
He's like, okay, well where do you own it, on your desk? He's like, no, somebody get him a bucket, somebody get it. And then they come in with a bucket and he pukes in this bucket and then like, oh, the puke, that's a great name. And he comes up with this, tries to like, they start brainstorming a name. He's like, well, we could figure that out. So I think that's why he gets to retain ownership of the name.
Wow, he's like the Stan Lee of wrestling.
Exactly.
Well, so Hollywood Hogan's there and we're watching again, we're in our 20s or whatever, and there's this guy about three rows in front of us and he kept screaming to him, all right, Hogan, reach out to your Hulkamaniacs. We've been here since 1983. Reach out to your Hulkamaniacs.
So this guy is almost 30.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he it was one of the funniest things I'd ever heard. And he, by the end of it, he was just made this whole section of guys laugh. We were all in hysterics. And by the end of it, he's like...
Were they called Hollywood-a-maniacs now?
Yeah, exactly. He was doing all these old references. And by the end of it, he's like, Hulk Hogan, I love you. He completely wasted his voice. Oh, that poor guy. Well, you know what? What I've kind of learned is that maybe what you're saying makes sense, because maybe working for Vince McMahon isn't the best job you'd want in the world. Because I always thought, you know, Kurt Angle, you know his story with the wrestling. Now he was
an Olympic wrestler.
Kurt Angle was an official gold medal winner in the 1996 Georgia Olympics or World Olympics in Georgia rather, and I always thought that he went back to once he won the gold medal that he went over to WWF or E or whatever it was. And you know, because he wanted to rejoin the wrestling stars of his childhood in the 70s. And really, from reading his bio, it sounds like he begrudgingly joined and then just couldn't wait to get out of his contract. And now he's with a company in Japan doing wrestling and did some stuff with
TNA. A lot of guys did that. I was reading another thing about the British Bulldogs went and did Japan pro wrestling for a while, too.
It sounds like that's the place to go with wrestling, is over there. Now, do we talk about why it's called WWE now? You remember this whole controversy?
World Wrestling Entertainment, because the World Wildlife Federation had the same name.
But yeah, exactly. But the WWF Wrestling came 10 years before the Worldwide Refuge Federation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
World Wildlife
Whatever
Federation.
It is. Yeah, yeah. They came 10 years after the wrestling, and yet they still won that lawsuit.
Oh, but they won the lawsuit? I didn't know there was a lawsuit. I thought they just did it because it was inconvenient.
No, no, no. They beat them out, took their name. So what I wanted to know is in the 70s, since it was wrestling in the 70s, what was going on with real Olympics, with the Summer Olympics? Because it counts. It's 70s for wrestling, right? So gold medal winners, who do you think took home more gold?
This is why I like doing the show with you.
Why is that?
I will find the wrestling, and I had the thought of, I'm like, you know what? I think we should talk about real wrestling a little bit. And I remember thinking, I'm like, you know what? I bet Kevin has some stuff about that.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's all I have. Who do you think took home the most gold medals in wrestling in the year 1976? When America is crazy for bicentennial fever. Like, everybody is American. It's not just Olympic times or anything. Yeah. Not just Republicans and Democrats. It's all of America. Crazy for America. How many gold medals did we take home in wrestling?
Zero.
Close. One. Who beat us?
Who beat us? Russia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Guess how many?
Guess how many times we got beat?
Guess how many gold medals they got in wrestling alone.
How could you get more than one medal in wrestling?
There's a bunch of different tables. There's Greco-Roman style. There's freestyle.
Is that naked?
Yep. And then and then there are different weight categories for each of the wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of medals
like
to be
17.
Had. Close, 12.
Wow. 12.
The next runner-up, Japan.
Which one did we win? Does it say?
The only gold we got that year in wrestling was... in 82 kilogram weight, John Peterson got it. So way to go, John. We got a few silvers and a few bronze, but we rocked it that year. So jump forward to 1980, right?
Uh-huh.
4 years later, who takes home the most gold?
In 1980, yeah. America.
No.
Russia.
With 12 more gold.
Did we get one again?
How many did we get?
One.
Zero. We didn't get a single gold medal that year in wrestling.
Well, hold on. Was it professional wrestling? Like, would they decide who wins beforehand?
From what I can tell, actually, I don't think we actually competed in this event.
Oh.
We're nowhere near.
Maybe that's why we didn't win.
Did we even compete in the 80 Olympics? Of course.
I was born in 79, so I would not know.
So now, 1984, jump forward. Now, this is the controversial 1984 Olympics. How many gold medals?
Hold on.
Yeah.
When you say controversial.
Yeah.
How?
Okay. Well, how many gold medals did Russia get in the 1984?
None.
And do you remember why?
Because they didn't participate.
That's right. They didn't come. They stayed at home because of the Cold War. It was in the height of...
We were going to nuke their asses.
We were just about ready to. Now, and so United States had 9 and then Japan had 2. So we were finally able to dominate. But you remember the biggest thing that's so hilarious about the 1984 Olympics?
Nope.
Wait,
is this when Eric Bana blew up all them Jewish people?
Oh, wow. Too soon.
What?
now, McDonald's. Do you remember this? McDonald's had a giveaway contest. The Simpsons actually made fun of this. Where they had little tabs and you would... draw names, and if America got, or if you got a tab that said America on this thing, you'd have to watch that sport. And if America got a gold medal in the sport with the tab that you have, you get a free burger or whatever. Well, they put it on all these events that they expected the Russians to win because the Russians always dominate us and stuff,
and
like
they
wrestling.
Didn't show up.
And they don't come to the Olympics. So there are all these tabs out there for things. And then they turn over and they end up losing millions of dollars in
free
burgers.
That is angering. Because what that does is that just means that they're over a billion sold as a crock of shit.
Yeah, most
of
them are
failed sweepstakes.
At least 1 billion of them was free burgers thanks to the 1984 Olympics.
What if they would have been crippled? That would have been awesome.
That
would
have been awesome. Where were they?
Morgan Spurlock
Olympics?
Wouldn't have a career.
The 80s Olympics were in Moscow, so we must not. Did we go to the 80 Olympics? That would make sense.
I think we've been to everyone.
Let me just double check. I'll try to real. I wish somebody could tell us.
I have a video that I could play for 30 seconds that I wanted to.
Oh, no. Yeah, we were competing. We had 20 golds. So then in 1988, just to jump forward, the Russians get back into the battle and they beat us with 8 golds and we took them 2 that year in wrestling.
Do we give them a lot of McDonald's or?
I don't think, well, by then it was in Creole or Seoul. No, it was in
Seoul.
That's what I mean.
Creole.
Down in Korea. It's a combination. Creole. Uh-huh. And so
there's a lot of Cajun food in Korea.
Good old Olympics. Real stuff. I have anything else that was worth noting? Oh, then I don't ever do a search for women wrestlers. If you don't want a bunch of porn
on your
computers.
That's another thing. Your friend didn't get an email, did he?
No, I know.
Okay, good. I have to find that. We may have to pause that. Oh, hey, Sheldon Slade is in the chat room. Hello, Sheldon Slade. We just talked about you with Courtney Pong. Like 2 days ago. Is that who you're asking? Who are you?
Yeah, exactly.
He was in the Unscriptables. Sheldon Slade.
Oh, sure, Sheldon.
I think he was there for like 2 weeks or whatever had to leave because he had to move to someplace or some or other. I think it's because Jerem had some kind of coup because he was the other Mormon in the on the team at that point.
Yeah, they had the Mormon off.
But anyway, I found through an ad on a wrestling museum website, mm-hmm.
a thing for apartment wrestling where they get hot chicks and they put them in an apartment. Like, at first I thought it was just, oh, it's just like regional wrestling or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, why would it be apartmentwrestling.com? Apartmentwrestlers.com would be the URL for this. And I was like, oh, maybe it's like these backyard wrestling guys. Well, then I click on it and see a bunch of their sample videos because they have storylines. They have the exact thing as wrestling. They have they have funny names for their titles or something. Let me see if I can pull it up here. But they have, like, one of them is the Double D Cup champion. let's see if I can. Yeah, here it is. This is it. They have, let's see, biographies. Is that what I'm looking for? Yeah. The D Cup champion is Brycey Adams. She's got sleeve tattoos and evidently D Cups. the Intercondominium champion.
Oh, there it is.
Is Mandy Taylor. And
do these girls wrestle, or do they just walk around in white t-shirts and
no, they wrestle. I mean, I won't get you in trouble if I show you a video, will I?
I don't think so. They're not getting naked, will they?
There's boobs.
There's always boobs.
Okay. I mean, but nothing you wouldn't see on, like, let's see if videos. Here we go. Nothing you wouldn't see on, like, a TV or anything like this.
So, but is it, I mean, is this site you found porn? I don't understand.
No, it's not porn. I don't, well, here's the thing, because they don't do it. Like, from what I understand in the sample videos that they offer.
Oh, but you buy it. It is a paid.
Yeah, yeah. You pay, like, it's something like you pay for $30 or whatever to get one of the DVDs. And then.
Hilarious.
And then you can, from there, you can, like, yeah, you pay 20. I can't find
it. It doesn't surprise me that you found this.
Why?
I'm just saying.
What are you trying to say?
That you would find this. I think our listeners would agree.
I looked at it and I was like, oh, that's history. I can't find a video now. Here's what I'm going to do, because I have two things I want to do. I'm going to hit pause real quick so I can find this video. Okay, we're back.
That was amazing. Ed McMahon stopped by, Michael Jackson, Gary Coleman.
This is a legit piece of wrestling.
That's amazing.
Here's what we found out. For anybody who does not have an accountability partner, go to apartmentwrestling.com. You can see samples of clips. It's not really pornography, but evidently if you search low enough down and you just see a chick standing on a bed or in front of a green screen, that can get pornographic, where she will do her stripper dances for you. But anyway, it's just chicks wrestling in what really, it's not even an apartment technically, so their name is false, but I know wrestling isn't real, so I know it's sports entertainment. But it's a residence inn.
Place squabbling. Yeah. Entertainment.
You can tell that I totally could see the floor plan of the Residence Inn because it has an upstairs, like, loft bedroom.
Nice.
And they have the same kind of, like, well, you wouldn't know, but in pornography, they have a format, if you would.
Okay.
So it starts off where they're just kind of heavy padding, making out, and then they take turns going down on each other. And then there's usually followed by a series of positions, and then ultimately ending with what is called the money shot. Now,
I'm learning so much.
I know. In this, what they have is the girls wrestle around on the floor.
Yeah.
Then they wrestle around on the couch, which takes it
did
back
to did you watch
to
a clip? Did you purchase a clip?
No, I didn't purchase a clip. This was on a preview that I can't find on here for some reason now. But they wrestle around, and then they pull each other's tops off while they're, and it all, it's like, it's, here's the thing though, in their defense, it, like, the clip that I showed you did do it justice, because there's, like, these two chicks that were just
one actually said erg arg
on her bed, and then, like, she was like, ha, like, you, she broke character a little bit and pinched her, like, I don't know what to do right now. You know what I mean? And so I kept thinking, like, are they going to wrestle for, like, 15 minutes? And then at the end, it's just going to turn out to where they're just doing each other like crazy, right? So on the I watched the preview clip that I saw, and in no way did it suggest that at all. It was just them fighting. They pull each other's tops off.
A couple of swings. Like, got her a black eye.
One chick pretends to run away on one video, and she runs upstairs. Another one, the chick is grabbed by the hair and, like, kind of, but, like, stage fighting, like, carried up the stairs.
Nice.
Like, she's, like, crawling, but she's
really in control of the whole situation. Yeah.
And then they always end on the bed. They start wrestling around and fighting each other. And then there was this great one where these chicks that had a rivalry, quote unquote, that they were in, like, a 69 position, and all they were doing was spanking each other and rolling over and spanking each other. Like, if you were to boil it down, but they were, like, talking, like, oh, really, get your ass out of my face. They must have said that 87 times in a 30 second span, and they're just spanking
each
other.
That's a lot.
For
it's
no
like
reason.
More than twice a second.
I'm telling you, I
saw this thing, and if I could find it right now, I would play it for you. But if you're really interested, go to apartmentwrestlers.com, and it is worth it. There's some pretty girls here too, for anybody who is into that sort of thing. But the real video that I wanted to play real quick, because you can't talk about wrestling without mentioning this video. And then, is there anything else that you had that needed?
Well, if you'd like to hear more about Joseph Barkley's band, you can check them out at Plumline. They have a MySpace page as well as they're on iTunes.
I'm really sorry, Joseph. This is just for me and you right now. I know I give you a lot of ribbing, but now I just did a lead-in of some what is essentially like a loophole to internet porn. And now we're going to talk about your worship music. So here's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You're going to go to apartmentwrestlers.com.
Yeah, I don't think
you're going to create some guilt for yourself.
No,
and then you're going to go find your savior.
I don't. What? Me or Joseph?
Joseph Barkley is going to help you to find it.
No, I don't think it works like
that. Isn't he a head pastor? Isn't that what his gig is?
You don't need to get guilty. We're already all guilty. You don't need more guilt.
Hold on. I have not done anything wrong.
We can talk about that off the air.
We can talk about it on the air.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Here comes the gospel. We're all sinners. You make mistakes daily. You can't stop yourself from making mistakes.
No, when you say a mistake, are you talking about an ethical mistake or just a mistake in general?
An ethical, moral mistake. You are without the ability to be perfect.
I'm trying to think of what...
You can't be perfect.
No, I'm not saying I'm perfect. Mm-hmm. I know that, but I'm trying to think of, like, I thought I'm pretty close to... here's the thing. I think I'm a perfect ethically.
No.
Is what I'm saying.
No, you're not.
How?
Because you don't put others before you, and you don't put God before you.
How do I not put others before me?
At all points in time.
Ooh, that's... Let me see.
Yeah, you can't.
No, I'm just trying... I listen.
Fair enough. Go ahead.
Let's, for the sake of argument...
All right.
Let's hash it out. And let's honestly... Here's what I need.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
Here's the thing. You're like the professor... And okay. I'm the adventurer guy in this situation because you know the knowledge. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm going to know how to do flips.
So I'm no longer the sidekick.
No. And I could use the whip, right? But you know how to read the hieroglyphics.
Okay.
So I need you to translate for me.
Okay.
And let's help me walk through this to see if we could find today, literally today. Let's go from the time we started this podcast and go backwards and think of a time that I did something ethically wrong.
Okay, what are you defining as ethically wrong?
Let's start there. To go by your definition, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you give me what is ethically wrong.
Well, I want to make...
You said putting others before me has to be done.
And worshiping God.
And worshiping God.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like, would that mean 24/7?
That means every second of every day.
Every second. Well, then I'm screwed already.
Exactly my point.
That's a horrible...
But this is the point. This is the point, is that we live... This is the whole point of Christianity.
Oh, boy.
You asked.
I know.
That you're...
I didn't mean to be like, oh, boy. I meant in the same way that you were saying things when Ruben was... Or Jordan was talking.
Oh, boy.
I have to say something. I'm not mocking your faith. I'm just like, oh, boy. Like, you're... Like, to say, I don't want to talk about this, and then all of a sudden, here it is. This is the whole thing.
This is the whole
reason we have a 4,000-page book, and a huge history and everything is all about what I'm about to say on this free show, unless you subscribe for $2 a month, 50 cents an episode.
It's all about this, is that we are incapable of being perfect.
Uh-huh.
And all the things that are wrong in your life, all the things that you feel are missing, any time that you have all the problems with your marriage or you have those dark moments where you don't know what you're doing or why things are happening to you, it's all because of the lack of God in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus comes into the picture and gives us an ability to connect with God in a way that was not possible before him. Because God is perfect and cannot hang out with us that are imperfect. He just physically cannot be.
So he's not going to chill at a party.
It's not that. He used to. That's what the Garden of Eden was all about.
It was a party.
It was
like Studio 54 without all the...
Sure. With God, and they would walk in the cool of the day.
More fruit and animals.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but he would enjoy the garden. He would walk around. There was probably a martini bar. I don't know.
Couldn't be much of a party. I mean, well, I guess maybe animals were party. Could animals talk? No.
Well, it was perfect, is the point. Is that it was man and woman and God, and they lived together, they communed, they hung out, they had a good time. Then sin shows up in the whole thing.
I like this idea of a perfect party being just me and my wife and God.
It's pretty awesome, right?
Right.
And so now God can't be with us. He can't physically be here. So we have these mistakes that we all make. And something has to pay the price for that. So that was Jesus on the cross. Now, through prayer, anybody that believes Jesus came to save our souls can connect directly to God. You can see lives changed. You can see what the
for
Bible
a second,
calls.
I thought you could say live streaming.
You can see live streaming Jesus.
I was going to lose anything, any ounce of like paying attention and listening. If you would have said live streaming, I would have checked out then. I would have been like, okay, thank you very much on behalf of my
this is the second funniest podcast.
Oh, wait, we have someone calling in now. Maybe they're going to weigh in on this very topic.
Let's find out.
You're calling in live to the Second Funniest Podcast with Justin and Kevin. Who is this?
This is Pete Adams.
Pete Adams. Are you listening? Are you listening live on the internet, or are you just calling in for fun and shits and giggles?
No, I'm listening live on the internet.
Oh, boy.
Well, welcome. And
are you calling to weigh in on Kevin's topic, or are you just calling to chit-chat?
No, I'm calling to weigh in. I actually had something really funny happen today that was kind of ironic. Kevin said earlier, you know, putting God before first and other people first. And I literally was interviewing a guy today, and in the middle of the interview, he told me, hold on and answer the phone because his pastor was calling him.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's an interesting, I like this idea, Mr. Adams, of that, like, because, like, here's what I would think. I would think, etiquette-wise, mm-hmm. That's kind of like, hey, wait a minute. That's kind of not cool.
Well, it's not a superstitious thing. So what, I mean, he's not like the Pope, right? Your pastor isn't. So I would want to know why he felt that he had to stop an interview to pick up a pastor's phone call.
Because it's not like his pastor's on the phone going, hold on, I just got a message.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus is on the horn. Guess what? You don't need this job. You're about to win the lottery.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not going
to
ever happen.
It doesn't work like that. So why did he have to pick up the phone?
I have no idea.
Oh, did he left the room?
His pastor was calling him, and he had this sudden urge. He said, I'm sorry, I have to take this, and he answered it. Mm. He's like, hello, Pastor Steve. And I'm like, well, Pastor Steve, wait, what?
Wow. What denomination did he tell
you? So he's putting his religion and his beliefs above first.
That could be many things going on there, because he could have an addiction. I don't know. I'm not going to get this guy in trouble and not get a job. But he could have all sorts of problems in his life. He could be dealing with a death or a sickness in the family, and he wants to connect with him. He could be having problems with somebody, and his counselor was calling. Because depending on what size of church he's at, it may be really difficult to get a hold of the lead pastor. And if he's calling, you want to pick up that phone right then. There's all sorts of reasons why. But it's not God calling in the middle of an interview. It's just a dude.
So what if, though?
Yeah.
What if, because I'm assuming that you, Pete Adams, and I mean, if you can't legally weigh on this topic, that's totally fine. But I'm assuming that you were kind of like, hey, this is kind of not cool to do at a job interview, right or wrong?
You know, I cut it some slack because, you know, like Kevin said, it, you know, who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
He obviously felt, you know.
Because this is an interesting thing, I think, socially that I always think about in that situations where religion does give you like a little bit of a leeway where it's like, so he technically can answer the phone from his pastor in the middle of a conversation. But I think if I got a phone call and saying, hold on a sec, this is my mom. You know what I mean? And I answer the phone.
Well, that's my point. It's like, it's not a get out of jail free card. Like, you still.
Christianity or just this phone call?
Christianity. Okay. Like, you know, that's, it's not something mystical.
If it would be,
weird.
We would have a lot more spiritual killers.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
That was really deep. So I think it's circumstantial what this dude was up to. That is not, when I say putting God and your fellow man ahead of yourself, that's not a picture of that. That's something specific to his life. So he does not get to represent the rest of us. Although I don't know. I mean, who knows? His daughter could be getting married. Who knows why he needed to take a phone call?
I do think it's Israel, and I don't think it's what you're saying, but I think it's just from an outside perspective for the sake of throwing in there, is that I do think that it's funny that you get to say he's not speaking for the rest of us, but you do get to speak for everybody in that.
I would hope, get this guy on the phone. I would hope that he would be able to tell us why he needed to stop in the middle of an interview.
And what if his reason was, I didn't know what if I was ushering or if I was on parking. Duty.
Yeah, see, that'd be like, you don't. Because I wouldn't hire that guy.
Well, here's the interesting thing about Christianity is that I do think that what, to a certain degree, what is considered your commitment is up to to you and your relationship with God, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like he could, like, if he's like, I'm invested, and invested to him is I'm going to do the direction of parking cars at the church because that's a skill set that I have that I'm bringing to the table. And so he needs to know this is what I'm going to do. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So that to him is more important. But even though, like, maybe to someone like you or I or Pete even, maybe that's not a big deal. And like,
totally. I mean, that's what I said. It needs to be, I'd need to know more about why he.
Well, that's my point. My point is that it wouldn't really matter, though, don't you think? I mean,
I think it does. I think it does. Yeah, because it doesn't have to, because it's not across the board, is my point. Like, that would not, I wouldn't do that in an interview. I have a friendship with Joseph. If right now he called.
I don't.
I know you don't.
I don't.
If he called right now on the phone, I would not pick up to stop. I would not stop.
If you did, this show would end.
You know, you got to stop hating him. Huh? You really got
to
stop hating.
I don't have to stop hating him.
You don't know the man.
Everybody needs a nemesis.
You chose Joseph Barkley?
No, he chose me.
I really like this, where this is going. This is going to be good.
Except I don't like that he knows Taekwondo because I feel like he could hurt me.
Yeah, he has a katana blade.
I'd feel better if Pete Adams was closer because I think he has some kind of martial art in his back pocket.
Yeah, you
or
sure do,
kind.
Don't you, Pete Adams? We worked with Pete Adams at Paramount's Great America back when the P was in the GA.
All right, well, I'm going to let you go unless there's something else you wanted to say, Pete. But thank you for calling in. That was awesome.
All right, you guys take care.
All right, take care, Pete.
Bye, Pete.
Bye. That's what I like about this show, too, is that you get people like a Pete Adams. You know, like, I'm very guilty of having people
like voices from your past.
Yeah, exactly. I'm very guilty of that. You're very good at this. You're very good at staying in touch with people. You have diaries. You go back, and you're like, oh, crap. And
They're called journals, thank you.
I'm sorry?
Journals, not diaries. Girls have diaries.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask. Which one is the one that the teenage girls
do? I have a journal.
Really?
It's more like notes. I'm like, are we done with this podcast?
We are. So if you want to send us... Oh, wait. I have to play my... Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play it out. So I'm going to do all of our fantastic...
Do you have any plugs? What is our next week's trivia challenge?
I don't know. You usually work the ones and twos and figure out what people are...
I would like to do a city or a location or something. Something like that.
What would be fun for us city-wise? Here's what
Maine?
We could do.
It's not a city, but let's do it.
We could do... Natalie's only saying that because I did a report on Maine when I was in, like, sixth grade.
Oh.
Because everybody
had
to do a state.
Does she not know it's not a city?
No, she's retarded.
She's shouting from me.
Even with Joseph Barkley's advice, we still can't hear you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think as a city that we would always want to go to.
Oh, okay.
Or a city that we know and are passionate about. You know what I mean? Like, we could do the history or trivia of Los Angeles.
Well, let's do a city south of the hemisphere. Let's do something in a part of the world that we probably wouldn't know a lot about.
Are there cities in Antarctica? That would be fun to find out.
There are regional bases there. So let's learn more about Antarctica.
All right.
And and South Africa. Those two things, because they're right there.
They're close to each other?
Yeah.
One hotter than the other, I imagine.
Just a little.
Okay.
Just a little.
If you want to send us an email to provide a topic for us, you can send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com, or you can give us a call at 408-228-4911. If you're like, I'm not into this whole internet thing, I don't do emails, then call us. You could see me do standing up comedy, as Ricardo would say, July 15th through 18th at Wits End in Denver, Colorado. I am co-headlining that week. July 22nd through 25th at Rooster Tea Feathers in Sunnyvale, California with Mr. Bent Washburn. I just found out. Great comic who's headlining that week. July 28th through August 1st at Pechanga Casino in Temecula, California. All my dates are at justincomedy.com. Please go to Second Funniest Podcast and take our survey. I found out that we need 20 people to fill out the survey in order for us to even get results.
How many do
right
we have
now, I think we have four that have done
it. This podcast is more popular than it appears to be. I realize that.
Here's the thing. The dad podcast that I also do, we did it for a month and it blew up.
Yeah.
Like, we had 2,500 downloads in a single two-week span or something like that.
You're going to leave me behind. I was like, oh.
And then all of a sudden the numbers kind of fell off on that one. And it's really hard for me to figure that out because I really don't think it's lack of interest because, here's my point, the listeners of that show will do this. Like, now we're starting to get, like, Pete Adams calling in. We have other people calling in because we do the Ustream thing and stuff like that. But the listener feedback on the dad show is great. This one's still getting 400 downloads a week. At least. And then here's the thing, too.
Silence from our listeners.
Every month or so, we add about 10 or 15 or more new listeners that go all the way back as far as they can and download episodes.
That's okay.
So I don't understand why you guys can't. Oh, God, that came across too angry. I'm just saying, go to secondfunniestpodcast.com. Take the survey.
It's a podcast. It's not an interact. It's not a video game.
Yeah.
Not everybody's going to be a guest star on the
podcast.
And
if those four people or 12 people or whatever are coming from you guys, please keep spreading the word for us. I really appreciate it. All that info.
Two things. Oh, sorry.
Secondfunniestpodcast.com.
I've got more things to say.
Okay, go.
So next week, our trivia challenge is the South Pole.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
And then I had something else, but it completely got pushed out of my
brain.
You
have a plug that you need to do?
I thought I did.
Where are you going to be on Friday or after?
I don't know. I was around. I'm going to be here. You're going to play that video for us.
I'm going to play a video of a young man. Everybody, I'm sure, is a very viral video of a young man who was very passionate.
It was the poll.
Oh, it's the poll.
You want the results of the poll?
I don't even know what the poll is.
What's your favorite decade? 90s, 0 votes. 80s, 0 votes. 70s, 0 votes. And 60s, 0 votes. So it's a four-way tie.
Speaking of participation, on behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Warsham saying, okay, bye.
Listen to this.
Next question. Jeff, where are you? Right there.
Yeah. I just want to thank each and every one of y'all for all you've done to your bodies. It's still real to me, damn it. I mean, thank you.
Easy, man.
Thank y'all, guys. Y'all are awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.